Rob Raines from SDLSportsPage.com. We'll talk some Arizona Fall League, but thought we'd start with that to get your perspective on all the different moving and shaking that this coaching staff has seen. How are you?
Crazy day, yeah. I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm doing good.
Good, buddy. Yeah, so what do you think? It is interesting, you know, and it's not just, you know, a bullpen catcher you're trying to replace. These are key spots and all at once. And so I think it'll be fascinating following what the Cardinals do.
Yeah, because the connections, as you never know, are you know, the ones that Ollie and Mo have in, from past relationships. I mean, people know the Cardinal connections with, and you're going to hear a lot of names of, you know, like people in the organization about possibly being candidates for those jobs. And they do have a tendency at some point to try to promote guys from within, you know, or internally, like, for example, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Stubby Clapp were to be moved to the bench coach, which is a natural progression that they've done in the past, that's how Marmol was first base coach before he became the bench coach, then, you know, you promote the Memphis manager to be the first base coach. You know, so, I mean, there's kind of a trickle-down effect of things like that that could happen. And Mo did say yesterday that they're going to look both internally and externally. So I think there is some merit to those possibilities of just the lateral moves internally that would be the most seamless. Especially to me, you know, if you're shaking up more than half the coaching staff, basically, you know, so to me, you know, there needs to be some continuity there. So you're going to have maybe either the guy that's the Dusty Blake, who's the pitching strategist, I think is his title. Maybe he doesn't become the full-time pitching coach, but maybe he moves to be the bullpen coach. You know, I just don't think my own guess is that not all of those jobs will be filled externally. I think some of them will come from internally, but maybe you get one or two that come from externally based on somebody that Ollie or Mo knows from the past.
One of the interesting names that I've heard for potential hitting coach was Ryan Ludwig, who has been in a variety of roles with the organization. He's, a confidant for John Mozeliak, and he has kind of been a rover as a special assistant and doing some things across the minor league system. But
yes,
he'd be a fascinating pick. Now, one of the things that's held him back from joining the staff full-time, I understand, is that he just doesn't want the grind. I mean, it's a lot. Look, you join a big league staff, you are fully engaged, and it's a long, long season.
Well, he has a pretty long season now, though, too. I mean, you know, I know Ryan well, and we've talked often, and I think, you know, he goes for like 3 weeks or so at a time, you know, 1 week in Peoria, 1 week in Springfield, 1 week in Memphis, so, you know, and then finally gets a week back home. So, I mean, I think, you know, I think he would be an interesting guy. It also wouldn't shock me if they promote Turner Ward to be the hitting coach and then bring in somebody like Ludwig to be the assistant coach. I mean, depending on how that works out from a financial standpoint, you know, because I think that, again, would bring that continuity to the jobs. Here, I'll give you a name that I think would be a great candidate for the bench coach job if they look outside the organization and if he is available and or interested. And it's a guy named Donnie Ecker, who is currently the bench coach at Texas. He came from the Giants, was with the Giants for a number of years, but has a connection with Ollie. They worked together in the minor leagues when Ollie was managing. Ecker was his coach in Palm Beach, and I know that they are very close personal friends. But I don't know, you know, with Bochy taking the job in Texas, they've said that they're getting a new pitching coach, but they've said everybody else on the current staff is expected to return. But they made that statement before the Cardinals had an opening for a bench coach. So, I you know, there'd have to be some kind of negotiations to get him out of the contract, and teams don't necessarily like to have people move laterally.
Right.
Coaches, you know, if he was a, you know, assistant coach or something, that would be a different to get a promotion to be the bench coach, but swapping bench coach for bench coach is kind of not something they usually do. So I don't know if he's a possibility or not, but I'm sure that there would be some way to get him into the organization. Ollie would love to do that.
Yeah, the other thing too is opportunity to work for Bochy, even if you're best friends over at another spot. It might be, let me try this for a year because of who Bochy is.
Sure. Yeah, and I have not talked to Donnie about that since all these news happened, so I don't know where his contract is, what the situation is, if he's been interested at all. But I do know that he's a guy that Ollie has a lot of respect and has worked with in the past and would be somebody he could work with probably again in that role.
Well, let's talk about – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just said, you know, I think we throw out these terms all the time in terms of titles for guys, and I think it can be lost sometimes on even your average – I mean, I've been in baseball my entire life. I've been a fan. I don't really know what the day-to-day duties are for a bench coach. What differentiates it from other positions, and why is it so prestigious?
Because he's coaching from the bench instead of first base or third base or the bullpen.
Is that thanks for that insight, Rob.
Hey, I've been around a long time. I picked these things up.
But what are they doing? I mean, I know Mike Schilt used to run, Tony's spring trainings and different things.
Yeah, part of it. I mean, I think he's just basically the confidant of the manager. I mean, I think they just, you saw him and Skip, sitting there side by side in the dugout talking moves, talking strategy. Then, Skip would be the one to go tell the player, hey, get ready, you're going to hit next inning or what. I mean, I think it's just kind of a general role of being supportive and assisting in whatever way you need to do, running the meetings, before the game, probably sometimes, things like that.
I got you.
In the old days, it would have been the manager's drinking buddy.
I don't probably think they, still is.
I don't know about that. Let's talk about the Arizona Fall League, because now we're, as Cardinal fans, in a mode to, what are we going to do next? And we always like the next hot young talent. So, the next young hot talent, much of it's playing in Arizona, and that's where you are. Tell us about it.
I'm out here for this week to see some of these guys play, and it's a great league. It's a great time to be out here and try to come, every year if I can, depending on what the Cardinals, postseason schedule is. But yeah, you've got, and some years are better than others as far as number of prospects go. But I mean, just look at last year. I think the Cardinals had 7 or 8 guys that played in this league, and all 7 or 8 of them ended up playing in the big leagues this year. So I think you kind of look at that and say, maybe not all these guys on a normal year would get to the big leagues, but you got 8 guys that are definitely somebody the Cardinals have high respect for and have a high probability of thinking they have, kind of progressed through the organization or they wouldn't be here. Then you're right at the top of the list. You got Walker, Wynn, and Tink Hentzer, three of the top 4 prospects in the organization. They're all here and all playing really well. So, Jordan Walker will play in the big leagues next year. It's just a question of when.
Mm-hmm.
Does he start the season in St. Louis, or do they give him a month or two in Memphis, kind of like they did with Gorman this year and like they've done with Carlson in the past before they bring him up, or is he going to force his way onto the roster? And part of that, I think, will be determined by what other moves the organization makes, over the winter. I mean, does he come into spring training with a clear path to be a starting player? I mean, he'll only come up if he's going to start, but or do the other moves kind of preclude that and he has to wait his turn until, a spot opens up later on in the season? So, I think we can't really answer that question other than I suspect he's going to come into spring training with a real chance one way or the other to win that job. He's that good. And the other guys aren't, that far behind him. Again, it's going to be more of a question of an opportunity of when and where the playing time is going to come from. But it's a chance to see these guys compete. Not only, you're seeing them individually, but you're seeing them compete against them and play alongside the other best prospects or other organizations. So, whereas, you go to a normal, say, double-A game in the middle of July, you might see a couple of guys that you think are legitimately, top prospects. Now you got 7 or 8 on every team out here that you play with. So I think it's a really good judge of balance, really good judge of where your guys stack up compared to not only in your own organization, but how they compare with other guys from other clubs.
So, I want to get back to some of the specifics of the Fall League in just a moment. But before we do, as you were talking about it, I was thinking about trying to figure out what Mo's going to do. And
Let me know.
Yeah, he indicated that the budget will go up, but what does that really mean? We don't know. But nobody's really grabbed hold of big league spots, and there might be, this is my word, a glut of outfielder DH types. Everybody really loves Carlson's ceiling, and I'm a big Nootbaar fan, and we've seen what O'Neill can do, but as you kind of warn him, bred contempt, excuse me. And then you got Walk. So I wonder if it's impossible to guess, but do you take some of that glut, make moves, and go sign a bat? I think watching all Mo try to deal with all of these variables over the next 2.5-3 months is going to be pretty interesting.
Well, that's the biggest challenge of not just the Cardinals situation, but any club situation is, how do you know what's going to work? I mean, if you played Yepes, and I'm just throwing a name out there, if you played Yepes, 400 at bats,
yeah,
you think you could hit 30 home runs in the big leagues? And you've also got a guy that you didn't even mention named Moises Gomez, who happened to lead the minor leagues in home runs this year.
That's right. That's right.
39 between Springfield and Memphis. So how will he do at the big league level? I mean, compared to a guy that you would have to go out and spend a lot of money capital of assets of players, young players, to get a guy like that. I mean, that's always the juggling act. That's always the balancing act of how do you know which are going to be the guys to give that opportunity to, and which are the guys who are going to produce. I mean, I still think Nolan Gorman gets 400 at bats, he's going to hit 30 home runs.
I agree.
Or more in the big leagues.
Yeah.
So, he's going to strike out sometimes too, but I mean, that's the way the game is played now. That's okay. I mean, it's, you got to have those guys, and that's the thing, what the Cardinals didn't have, you know, other than Pujols, which again, now we're trying to replace him. But, you know, when Arenado and Goldschmidt did not hit, and we predicted that, if they didn't hit, this team was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And when they didn't hit, this team lost.
Because mm-hmm.
they had nobody else who was ready to take that, you know, that next step up. Now, maybe they have those couple guys internally, like Yepez and like Gorman, like Nootbaar, like Carlson, that we talked about. Maybe we don't. I mean, maybe those guys are not going to be quite as good as we thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. You just don't know.
Rob Raines is our guest here, STLSportsPage.com. Terrific newsletter. Two-part question. One, who has more trade value right now, Mason Winn or Tommy Edman?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
He asks the tough questions. That's what we do on this show.
Really get after it here.
Yeah. Probably still Edman because of the defensive success. I mean, I think Winn could play defense in the big leagues right now, and he's one of the guys I'm really kind of focusing on out here because I've written a lot about Jordan Walker, but I haven't written as much about Mason Winn. The last couple of years, but Edman is so versatile, and he's going to start making. The only guess question is he's going to start making money here at some point before Winn would. It depends on what a team's looking for, I suppose.
I could
see both of them. Edman is so versatile, and he's probably going to win a second Gold Glove at one of the two positions that he's a finalist for. But Winn's talent is just. Is just terrific. I think there are probably still some people who have a little bit of a let's make sure that Winn's going to hit at the big league level. We know he can run. We know he can throw. We know he can play defense. But he's hitting really well out here in Arizona, so I don't think that's going to be a concern because he's still 20. Maybe he's turned 21 by now. But he's, age is still on his side too. But I can see, it's like with all prospects. Sometimes people have a little bit of let's just take a wait and see attitude before they really, really buy into everything that guy has to offer, whereas you've seen Edman do it at the big league level now for a couple of years.
You know, what's funny is, and I'm a Jordan Walker guy. I've seen all the video. I talked to people like you. The other day I was talking to a AAA hitting coach from another organization, but who has in the past managed at the Arizona Fall League and seen prospects all over AAA and throughout the minor leagues. He told me, I guess it was just about 3 weeks ago, he told me he thought Winn was the best prospect in the Cardinals organization. No, it's just one guy and one opinion, but it's interesting that...
They're different players.
But it tells me that there's at least two guys that are very highly regarded by just about everybody.
Well, and I think the third guy is Tink.
Yes.
I think there's that here, too. I mean, they've really held him back as far as, like, his workload and stuff is concerned, as they're just getting him developed and everything. But, again, he's a guy that is just, I think the ceiling is unlimited as far as his potential, whatever role they decide to use him. And he's pitching in the bullpen out here. And again, I think that's more just a product of trying to keep his innings down. But, he's going to pitch in the big leagues here too at some point and has a very high ceiling. So the organization, as far as prospect goes, is loaded. And that speaks to your point that maybe it's time to package, three or four of those guys and put them in a deal and see what you get, but and what you can get as far as a talented, proven major league player. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I thought it was interesting that Mo talked about their number one need being a catcher, basically coming out and saying we're going to go get a starting catcher at some point this year, this winter, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about trying to get an outfield production upgrade. But again, I think, to me, there's a better chance of getting the production upgrade in the outfield from what you have, the combination of what you have in the system now, than you do with the catcher position.
So just quickly on Winn, I was sort of shocked when I was looking at his stats this morning. I mean, the strikeout totals are pretty high. I think it was 100 his first year and 115 last season. I understand the speed. I understand the arm strength. But I do have concerns about his durability and the fact that, you know, doesn't really hit for average. I think he's a career 260 hitter in the minors. I'm a little concerned about everybody sort of signaling that Mason Winn is going to be the starting shortstop in a year or two, probably 2 years. And yet, if his trade value is that high, I see other needs on the team right now where if he has enough value, you could make this current complexion of a roster, you know, a contender for a World Series. Because in 2 years, Paul Goldschmidt's going to be 2 years older. In 2 years, Nolan Arenado's going to be 2 years older.
Right.
I get a little concerned about just handing the baton to Mason Winn. I haven't seen him play in person, though, so.
Yeah, no, I think he's the real deal defensively. As I say, I think there is, you can make the argument that we don't know for sure how kind of a hitter he's going to be, although he's hit it very well in the fall league, which, again, is against better competition. The thing that stands out about him that everybody raves about is his leadership qualities, his ability to make everybody on the field better around him. Like, he's one of those kind of guys that everybody I've talked to in his background, everything just raves about his makeup and his what he brings to the table, you know, off the field and not just the ability on the field. So I think it would be tough to trade a guy like that, but I also understand the need to, you know, improve your big league ball club, because that's, we all know the minor league system exists to be a feeder, you know, to make the big league club better. And sometimes you do that by making trades, you know, you have by having to trade some of those guys that, you know, you don't necessarily wonder where you're going to play them in the big league. So, and that's what I say, that all adds into the dilemma that the Cardinals face this winter. You know, I mean, I think to get, other than going out and just spending money and signing free agents, to get the type of players that they feel like, I think, that they want to add to the organization, it's going to hurt. I mean, it's going to take some trades that probably are, you know, going to hurt and that they're not going to want to make, but they're going to have to bite the bullet and decide to do that.
Yep, I'm with you. Hey, before we let you go, you're obviously going to be working on some pieces out there, some content with some of the different prospects, and what kind of things can we expect to be reading on stlsportspage.com?
Well, I'd be shocked if you don't read something about Mason Winn, since we just spent talking about him. Hopefully I'm going to talk to him later today. Just kind of a roundup then of some of the other guys. You know, Connor Thomas is an interesting guy that's pitched really well out here that I don't think anybody really talks about him as far as being a prospect is concerned. But, you know, some of these guys, what they're going to do is they play well enough out here that they're going to force their way onto the 40-man roster. And then that gives them a step up and a chance to get into spring training and see what they can do. And, you know, as far as left hand throws hard, you know, maybe he's a candidate to be a, you know, kind of come out of left field and be a bullpen arm, you know, like Zach Thompson did this year. So that's, you know, kind of the way that they use this down here is a kind of a proving ground thing, a finishing school, if you will, to see if these guys are ready for that next step.
Rob, enjoy the sunshine out in Arizona. And
yeah, I will.
We always appreciate your insight and look forward to your pieces on stlsportspage.com.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.